Welcome into the latest edition of the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers on this podcast. Winners of two of the last four national championships. I have two co-hosts. One is, of course, the most hated man on Facebook. He is the comrade, Mike Dabreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is good to be here. Pigskin Pete is here, which is great. And, of course, it's great to be a Gamecock. It's always great to be a Gamecock. And big news this week, Dawn Staley, her third five-star recruit in 1 week. Best athletic program in the state by far. It's not close. It's not close.
Lies.
It's anyway. Not close. So, anyway.
The other portion of our show is the bald man from the upstate. He is Cale Hall. Cale, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Glad to be here. It's great to be a Gamecock. Welcome to Pigskin Pete. Thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight. I'm sure that this will be fun. Right now, I'm watching a replay of the 2016 ACC Dr. Pepper Championship game between Clemson and Virginia Tech, where the Tigers went up against yet another offensive juggernaut from the ACC Coastal and won ACC another Clemson championship.
Why do you do this to yourself?
Big time football there. Ooh. ACC
well,
football.
I miss them football, so I got to watch what I can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
that was a funky looking fake punt. you remember that one?
I do.
Crazy.
But, let's welcome in our special guest this evening. Normally, it's just the three of us running our mouths, but I want to welcome our guest this evening into the show. Of course, Pigskin Pete from the Pigskin Pete YouTube channel. Pete, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's your boy, Pigskin Pete. Happy. What's today? What is today?
It's Sunday.
Sunday. Happy Sunday to everybody. Hell, I'm losing track of time with this coronavirus and all this shit burning down in America. Happy Sunday to everybody. And Rob, by the way, I know you're glad I'm here.
Exactly.
You've been putting up with these two coots over here for the past, I don't know how long you guys have been doing the show, but finally you have somebody on your side. That's all I can say.
Well, you know who's always on our side is our sponsors. I want to knock out our sponsors real quick. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. The best place to go and have some good food. Watch some good football games. Last night they had the UFC fights on, even though those were depressing. Anyway. But go to CallawaysBarAndGrill.com. Go by see Billy and Mike. They are some great folks. We also have, and I'm thinking Pigskin Pete will love this segment. It's the No Spin segment, courtesy of DNC Trucking and Transport. Dennis Wilson sets this up. Basically, we inject the comrade in his ass with some truth serum, and everything he says here is an absolute fact. From DNC Trucking and Transport, please, comrade, read away.
I stand at 5'7" tall, a full 7 inches shorter than Dennis Wilson.
Exactly.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Though we are in the middle of a pandemic, dealing with murder hornets and have race wars brewing across the country, please do not forget how much of a failure Will Muschamp is. It's been 2,374 days since my piss-poor team won over our rival in our Super Bowl. I am the reason Cale Hall pisses in the sink. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
This message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Pigskin Pete, I think you approve.
I definitely approve.
All lies.
Sign me up for that.
All lies. It used to be like this. It used to be factual stuff, but now
it's all facts.
It's getting to be, like now it's become. It used to be actual facts, which I had to deal with. But now we put in things in there that aren't real factual. It's really gotten kind of off of what the intent of it was, and so
it's It's a watered down version of its former self.
Yeah, it's getting bad now. It's getting a lot of half truths in there.
If I sent you the stuff that Dennis Wilson actually sent me, we don't want to go.
Dennis was the other day.
Let me ask you a question. Is this the same Dennis Wilson that I know?
I don't know. There may be Dennis Wilson from Swansea. Do you know Dennis Wilson from Swansea?
I'm, talking, I mean, there's Dennis Wilson.
It's not the Dennis Wilson from YouTube, Pete, the one with the all caps.
No, okay. This different one. This all one right. Always takes his pants down in public.
Oh, okay. So all Dennis Wilsons are idiots then.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Oh!
Rip our sponsor. Oh. Holy shit. Well,
he could deliver something to your front yard. Be careful.
Yeah. That's we don't need to get into that. But hey, I'll tell you
his
what.
His wife does love me, though.
His wife hates you. But I tell you what, I was inspired to actually, I talked with Kale about this, and Kale did Pigskin's Pete's show and kind of turned me onto his show. And I was like, why not bring Pigskin Pete on here? Too many peas tonight. But Pete, it's great to have you here, and I've got lots of questions I'd like to ask you, but Kale set this up. So, Jackpot, you got a question for Pete to start the show? Uh-oh. Jackpot must have muted himself. Well, we'll go to the comments. Go ahead.
Let our listeners know and so forth and so on.
First of all, despite his Gamecock, I do like him. I invited him on my show a couple of weeks ago. I do a segment called Behind the Camera where I have people on to discuss their YouTube channels and all that. And he's a very honest guy, which I respect, no matter which team you're a fan of. And so I enjoyed our time that we spoke a few weeks ago. Now, we've been nemesis on YouTube. You know, we go back and forth. That's what this is all about. But as far as I go, I'm just a jack off on YouTube. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, I got a YouTube channel. I talk about Clemson football. I talk about all of college football. And my specialty is pissing people off and running them off. I think I've ran more people off than I've actually invited to my YouTube channel. So that's what I do.
Is that, you know, so you and the comrade might have something in common there, because comrade lives to piss people off.
So, I mean, I don't, it just happens. I don't know how to do it. It just happens.
Exactly. Me and comrade have something in common there too. same with me, brother.
What?
It just happens. Can you hear me now?
Oh yeah. I got you, Kale. Yeah. You're good to go.
Okay,
Kale.
Good.
Well, what inspired you? What? Comrade's throwing me off today. You're funny, comrade.
I'm reading Anthony Keith Harrelson's comment. Kale
must be pissing.
Be pissing.
That's typical. We learned on the show.
I wasn't pissing. I was.
Okay. Yeah. Well. We learned on the show that Kale pisses in his sink sometimes, Pete, when they're in the show. So, anyway, well, Pete, I gotta ask you though, what inspired you to start your YouTube channel?
Show.
I mean, we've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a glutton for punishment, number one, and I'm just a very, very opinionated person that loves college football. That was, and I think it was around 2017. I'm behind the times. I'm an old man. I'm old as you know. I'm almost as old as Kale. And I was behind it. And other already had YouTube accounts and were watching YouTube. I never saw a YouTube video. I was 35 years old. So once I got YouTube, and I was like, man. YouTube's great. And then I started seeing that there was college football, you know, video makers out there putting stuff out on YouTube. And I was within 2 weeks, I was on YouTube. That's how it happened.
Have you gotten any real bad blowback from listeners or people that you've said something and then they, you know, came back and said, maybe you shouldn't have said that?
Every week since I've been on, it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've learned over time that it doesn't matter. You know, luckily I've had a lot of other YouTube longer that I have become friends with over the past few years that I've been on YouTube, And they have let me know, you know, hey, listen, man, this is what the internet, you know, this is what YouTube's like. And, you know, you can't, you got to take it in stride. At first, I'm telling you, the first probably 6 months was pretty rough for me. Because I'm the type of person, if you come at me, I'm coming back at you. I mean, that's just the way I am. For better or for worse. But that's not good necessarily. I mean, you got to learn what to respond to and what not to respond to. And so it took me a good 6 months. And I'm still going through that process. And I'm almost 3 years into this thing. But I'm much better than I used to be. I'm much calmer. And I just do my thing now and let the hate fall where it falls and let the love fall where it falls.
Well, I was going to ask you, because Kale has come on and he has a disdain for Clemson. Do you have a disdain for the Gamecocks, or have you moved on and now it's a disdain for Alabama, Miami, LSU, insert viable team here?
Well, I'll always hate the Gamecocks. That will never change. That was ingrained in me since I was 5 years old. So, I hate the Gamecocks. I've learned to hate everybody else too, just because Clemson's been good for the past 10 years or so. And that's the other thing. All you haters out there, I've been hearing for the past 10 years that Clemson's only been good for 4 years. So I don't know how to do the math here, but if 5 years ago I was hearing Clemson was only good for 4 years, that puts us at 9 years. And I'm still hearing the same thing today. So somebody either needs to go back to math class, or maybe they just started watching college football 4 years ago. I don't know. But I'll tell you who I've grown a real disdain for is definitely Ohio State, because we've had a history with them in the past 10 years since Clemson has been good. And they're completely delusional fans. They've never beat Clemson. 0-4. Everybody knows that. But they'll throw the old moniker in your face. So we've got 8 national championships. You've only got 3. Blah blah blah. I don't give a shit. You've never beat Clemson. Clemson is your daddy. Everybody knows Clemson is Ohio State's daddy. South Carolina is Clemson's little brother, and Clemson is Ohio State's daddy. And that's what I live off of.
Go ahead, Kale.
Can we bring this point up to light? Now, during the and don't deny it, because you did say it.
Yep.
When you went back and watched the Carolina Jackpot behind the scenes episode on Pigs Compete, you said you agreed with a lot of things he said.
I did.
You thought it was comical that Pete said that South Carolina should be a top 10 program. Would you care to elaborate?
I'll be happy to elaborate on that. Just because Pete and I share the same line of thinking on a lot of things doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. I'm of the opinion that South Carolina has always been a shithole, and they will continue to be a shithole.
Lies.
Because it's my opinion. How is it a lie if it's my opinion, stupid? How is it a lie if it's my opinion? You idiots. That's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Lies.
Here's my question.
A shithole forever.
Here's my question. We know that at one time, Rob wanted Dabo fired.
I did.
So my question is this.
Oh, no, Rob.
Have you been a Clemson fan long enough to want Dabo fired? I'm not sure. I know a lot of Clemson fans. A lot of them have brand new shirts. And they go back to the era of Deshaun Watson. And that's, you know, if you bring up Neilon Green, they don't know who that is. So I'm just wondering, have you been a fan long enough to want Dabo fired at some point? Because we have a person in the show who said, you know, screw Dabo, fire him tomorrow. That was after we were taking that Clemson ass to the woodshed every year. But I'm just wondering, how long have you been a fan, and have you wanted Dabo fired before? Honestly, no.
Comrade. Did you hear the intro I gave when I told you?
I know that could be your story, though. I'm trying to get to the truth. That could be, you know, the story. I mean, I want to know, you know. I don't know. A lot of people I know in the world of Facebook have told me they've been diehard Clemson fans since a little boy, and then I make a crack on Neilon Green, and they don't know who that is. I'm just bringing up an example. Or I'll say, you know, back in the day when – you know, they'll say that Dabo is the greatest coach, never losing season before. I'm like, he actually did. And they argue he didn't. And You know, they lost. I'm just wondering. That's all. I mean, I'm not sure.
Didn't know who CJ Spiller was.
Comrade.
Yeah. Turf Toe Spiller.
Comrade, you sound like every terrible troll that's ever been on my YouTube channel over the past.
I am not a troll. I do not troll.
Listen, sir.
I'm just asking.
First of all, I'm asking a question. If you want to know about my Clemson fandom and how authentic it is, just go watch the past 600 videos of it. That's number one. Number two is, have I ever wanted Dabo fired? The answer is no. And the reason is because during that time, and this is another thing I've said over and over and over and over and over and over again ad nauseum on my YouTube channel, is because I thought or I saw an upward trajectory. I wanted Tommy Bowden fired. I wanted Tommy West fired. I didn't want Dabo fired.
I'm impressed.
Just because he was losing to South Carolina, that's not enough for me. Because South Carolina was not in the sights of what I considered to be the goal for Clemson. I wanted them to be winning ACC championships to begin with, and that's what he started with. And then after that, I wanted him to be knocking on the door and being a top 10 team, and that's what he did, and so on and so forth. Now, listen, I'll tell you this though. I never envisioned that Dabo Swinney would make Clemson to a top two or top three program in the country and be knocking on the door of being a dynasty in the past 5 years. I did not see that coming. But, no, I definitely did not want to see Dabo fired. But he was recruiting well. That's the reason he got the job. He changed the culture there.
No. Okay, go finish. Go ahead.
Wait. What do you mean?
Well, first of all, let me compliment you. You're a one percenter. Okay, you know who Tommy West is.
You see the shit up there.
If I went into a room with 20 Clemson fans, I would say maybe two know who Tommy West is. One of them, they read about him. The other one actually was a fan back then. So I commend you on that, on Tommy West. I commend you on that. I will say this though: the reason why Dabo got the job is he beat us. If he does not beat us that game, he does not get the job. Let's be honest.
That is completely false.
There is documentation of this that's why he got the job. That when they walked off the field, the AD at the time, okay, when they were asked about that, look at the scoreboard, right there, that's what it is. If they lose that game, Dabo gets fired, and Will Muschamp's your coach. Will Muschamp is probably your coach. Okay.
Listen,
because Will Muschamp was on the short list.
You're talking about a one game scenario. The reason Dabo got the interim job, we are your measuring stick.
We are your measuring stick.
Oh my God!
And that proves it. Dabo got the job because he beat us.
You are completely
Will Muschamp be your coach right now if Chris Smalley wasn't that quarterback that day?
You are completely delusional.
I mean, you'd have a fine, upstanding coach right now, Will Muschamp, who does not believe in hiring people on his staff that push women downstairs. That should have right now. but that's why he got hired. He was hired because he beat us.
The reason Dabo Swinney got the interim job is because of recruiting and because he was loved by the other assistant coaches and the players. Now, if you want to say –
Now, the interim now, job, maybe. The interim job is just, they're looking for a warm body. Like, who can lead this shit show going on? A team that was ranked in the top 10 preseason, by the way. Okay?
Everyone tries to say that. Mike, slow
everyone,
down.
Wait, hold
it's
on.
Not a, it's
everyone
not a warm
to say,
body
real,
thing.
Real quick,
no.
though. Real quick. No. Everyone tries to act like Dabo took over this horrible program. Like, he took over.
It was.
Okay? They were a top 10 – preseason ranked team the year he took over. That's why Bowden got fired, because they were underachieving.
The preseason rankings are as irrelevant as your point, sir.
There was a ton of hype around that Clemson Alabama matchup that year.
There was
a lot of hype. Did anybody with two brain cells to rub together think that Clemson was going to beat Alabama that year? Come on now.
I thought they had a shot. I'm going to be honest
with you. Alabama was coming off like a 6-6 season, and maybe they won their bowl game or something. They were coming off Saban's first season.
Well,
I mean, Muschamp took over a tire fire. He took over a program that was in absolute shitter. Okay.
First of all,
and here he is,
Mike.
Several years later,
hold on,
building something special.
Mike, Let our guests respond, sir.
Okay, I'm the same.
All right. If first you don't of all, let Will, respond, Will, I'll mute
Will,
you.
Will Muschamp turned that job down because he thought he was going to be the next head coach at Texas. What an idiot. That wasn't going to happen.
We wanted them. Clemson wanted them, let's be honest.
No, Clemson interviewed a lot of people. But, they, you know, we, the one thing we do know, we don't know what would have happened whether or not Dabo Swinney accepted the job or not. But the one thing we do know is that Will Muschamp is delusional and he's a bad coach. And he thought he was going to be the next head coach.
The jury is still out on that.
All right. What jury? A jury of one.
The jury is still deliberating.
A jury of one named Comrade.
In order for a jury to convict, all 12 have to agree. And right now there's a holdout juror that's saying, listen, I think we should reconsider. So it's dragging on a little bit. Well, but don't worry.
It's a hung jury then, just like the Gamecocks are hung.
We're not hung. This year he's gonna sway the rest of the jury members to my side.
I want to get some of Pete's. I'm just going to call you Pete.
Just call me Pete. Peace.
So, just don't call him Foreskin.
I will not call you Foreskin, Pete. That's just funny as shit. But, no, I want to get some of your opinions on some of the stuff the Comrade has said. He thinks that Will Muschamp is going to turn it around this year. He's on record in this podcast saying the Gamecocks are going to win 7 or 8 games last year. He said that they were going to the Gator Bowl at the beginning of the season. I'm just being honest.
We did lose our quarterback in week one, okay? I mean, hello. I mean, come on.
But I'm talking about this season, Mike.
You said last year.
I know.
At the Gator Bowl. I'm not making excuses, but our starting quarterback goes down in week one. I mean, it kind of changes things a little bit. You're
fucking excuses, dude. All right, I'm just saying, going into this season, you've already said 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah, I haven't really decided yet. I'm saving that prediction, but yeah, okay. I see it, yes.
Yeah, but Pete, is he out of his mind thinking the Gamecocks are going to win 7 or 8 this year?
Well, probably, but here's the real point. Here's what really matters. Are you happy with 7 or 8 wins, Comrade? Is that your goal?
I mean, that's not the goal, no, but it takes some time, though.
Time.
Were you happy? Were you happy going 6-7? And losing to South Florida?
No, but
Rob wasn't. Rob wanted them fired. But you did not want them fired.
We will have regressed. We won 9 games 3 years ago.
Exactly.
Winning 7 or 8 is not.
Look, and you could say what you want about Dabo Swinney. He was still improving in the recruiting rankings. Is Will Muschamp improving in the recruiting rankings over Steve Spurrier? Is he improving the recruiting rankings over Steve Spurrier?
I thought. His recruiting was unbelievable last year after a 4-8 season. This year, he's kind of struggling a little bit. I mean, it's pandemic, COVID.
Kind of struggling a little bit. Sir, listen. I feel like I'm a bigger advocate for the Gamecocks than you are. And that's a sad, sad state.
I think that Muschamp has the deck stacked against him right now. I mean, it's his own fault. I mean, it's his own doing.
Listen, South Carolina.
It'll be tough to recover. But listen, if he goes 8-4 this year, which I think he can.
That's terrible.
I think he can.
That's terrible in the East.
Well, I mean, 8-4, I'm pretty sure he will keep his job. He's going to keep his job anyway because we can't hire anybody right now with the revenue stuff and everything. So,
here you go. Hey, Kale, you hear that? Can't hire nobody right now.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the finances. It's a bad look the way your team programs are cutting programs and all that stuff. To fire them, buy them out, hire a new staff, I just don't think.
Well, whose fault is that? They're giving him a 6-year extension for 9 games one time.
Just because people are cutting programs in these FCS-type schools does not mean that that doesn't give us the green light to keep a shithead around.
I just don't see it happening unless something really bad happens.
Well, you're right. You know
like
what?
A 2-10 season.
It probably won't happen. You're right because they made a bad business deal by giving this guy a 6-year extension for winning 9 games one time. Like that's something special in college football.
Good stuff.
Teams wanted them. Programs wanted Will Muschamp. There's rumors about Auburn.
Get the fuck out of here.
We felt a little pressure on there. We felt some pressure.
Pressure.
We felt that people were going to come, you know, scoop them up. And so Ray Tanner.
All right.
You know who Ray Tanner is. Don't you pick CMP? You know Ray Tanner.
Oh, goddamn.
a national champion, two-time national champion, baseball coach.
Can we slow down for just a second on that? Because I have to.
He was a hot commodity back in like 2009. I mean, he really was. I mean, he was on a bunch of radars. I remember that. But then
he was the IT coach. Yeah.
Then Georgia Southern happened, and lost the game in the swamp. The Georgia Southern, like, he couldn't complete a forward pass, and then. I guess they decided he was kind of a shithead, and everybody turned the other way.
Just to reinforce what Pete said a minute ago about who wanted this guy during the Comrades after the 9-win season there, I host a show in Columbia on Fox Sports Radio, and when they got the extension, there were Gamecock fans that called up and said point blank, what the hell are they doing? We won nine games against a bunch of damn tire fires. What the hell are they doing?
And barely won those.
Yeah, so there's
that. We killed Michigan now. We killed Michigan.
We had to knock down a fourth down pass with 2 seconds left to beat the fucking Tennessee team that was 0-8 in the damn conference. 0-8, a team that was in the conference that carried a trash can up and down the
sideline. It's better than losing to them like Spurrier did when they 0-8.
We made it though.
They should have went 0-8 one year, but we couldn't beat them.
Comrade, you know what you are? You're a Gamecock apologist, and Kale.
No, I am not.
Yeah, and Kale is a Gamecock realist.
Listen, I have softened my stance on Mustang Bowl a little bit after this past year. I see some issues, but
just now seeing issues. Just now,
I see this past year. I saw some issues. I saw some things I didn't like, but I really am excited about Mike Bobo. Great offensive mind, fullback coming in. We're going back to kind of playing football old school way, a little smash mouth. We're bringing it back. It was
football,
the SEC staple.
And the way you like it.
And see, that's what it was. You know, and Spurrier came in for the Florida and changed the SEC. It was all tailback, fullback, I formation, run the ball, and Spurrier came in, spread everybody out. And now we're going to go back. We're going to be the team, the Mike Bobo-led Will Muschamp team that brings it all back. And teams won't be able to defend it. They won't figure it out. They'll be like,
right, so let me ask you a question. Comrade, are you going to be happy? Are you going to be happy if they go 8-4 this year? Are you going to say they're 8-4?
Yes. Now, if we're 8-4 3 years in a row, I'm kind of getting old of that, yeah. But I think you have to kind of build it back up. You go 8-4, you flip some kids recruit wise, and you build on that.
You go
8-4 is not the goal for all time.
You go 9-3, you go 3-9,
9-3, 10-2, and all of a sudden now we're talking playoffs every year. But that's how you gotta build up to that program.
Are you talking about Will Muschamp making the playoffs, sir?
I just don't
Please listen.
Listen. But 8-4 this year, I'll be happy with. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Gator Bowl, 8-4.
Sure.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope they go 8-4 too, just so they can keep Will Muschamp around for people like you. And
yeah, I said the same thing about Dabo back in the day, but it's the same thing. That was a joke.
No. Now here's the difference, though. Dabo was increasing the recruiting rankings, and he was going to New Year's Six bowl games. Something South Carolina.
Oh my God! New Year's Six bowl games. Those are rigged. Okay, got there because of he got there. Were they ranked in the BCS top 10 rankings? No, he got there through the affirmative action plan. He didn't earn it. He didn't earn to get there. I always hate that whole thing. He did not get there. He did not earn it. It was special rules made up. Oh, you can't have this. Teams from the conference go. So, we're the second best team in the ACC. You get to go then. I mean, come on. I can't stand. Listen, I give Dabo credit, okay? However, I do not give him credit for the BCS appearances back and then when he wasn't in the top 10 in the BCS rankings, okay? The one year, they're barely ranked the top 25, and they went and played West Virginia and got killed, okay? Well, we won the conference, though. I mean,
true.
The whole BCS was spoken to 10 best teams playing 5 big bowl games. And then the presidents got together. Well, I'm not sure that's fair. I mean, what about the crap conferences? Shouldn't they get a shot too? I mean, if they're not a top 10 team, had to rewrite it. Okay, you can't have more than two teams go in the top 10. And if you win your conference, you get an automatic bid in there. And if Notre Dame doesn't, you know, embarrass themselves this year, they get a spot too. I mean, it became a joke. Those Gamecock teams, 11, 12, and 13, were all in the top 10 in the BCS. And should have won the BCS bowl games, okay?
All right. Since you're such a history buff, you know, you're asking me about how long I've been a Clemson fan and impressed I knew who Tommy West was. Yeah. You're a college football history buff. Let's talk about the history of Will Muschamp as a head coach in college football.
Okay.
We're seeing the same pattern at Florida. What did he do at Florida? Won what? Six.
It does look similar. Year. It does look similar.
Won 11 games that one year. Everyone said, "Oh, this guy's the second coming of Spurrier."
Urban Meyer.
Florida, or Urban Meyer, whoever it was. Then he fell off the map. This is the same thing that's happening now. So what makes you expect anything different? And by the way, Florida's a better program for him to succeed at than South Carolina is. So what makes you think he's going to do something?
I think he made some first job mistakes. I think his offensive coordinator was thrust upon him and Charlie Weiss.
You're making the same mistakes in South Carolina, though.
Then Weiss left.
Nobody thrust Charlie Weiss unless they were a damn powerlifter. Mark Henry.
You know who hates Charlie Weiss? Bill Parcells. Can't stand Charlie Weiss. Can't stand him. That's what I bring up there. The tuna. Can't stand him. By the way, who gave Bill Parcells the nickname the tuna? Anyone know?
Bill Belichick.
No.
That's a good
Gamecock
question.
Gamecock great Rick Sanford gave him to him. Long story. Anyway, so
he does kind of look like a tuna, though. Let's be real.
So I forgot the whole story behind that, though, why I called him that. But anyway, so it was back when he was an assistant coach. So No, so I think the Florida thing, I think he made some mistakes. The Gamecock job, I'm a little bit concerned last year, and I brought this up a lot of time on the podcast. I think he's sticking his nose in the offense too much. Okay? So,
yeah.
And I think that's a problem. You know, we had some games last year where we had some offensive calls that were just stupid. And he stuck his nose in there. I wish he was more like Dabo. That Dabo don't stick his nose in anything. I mean, Dabo puts on his Tony Robbins tapes, puts his headphones on, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on in the game. I mean, Dabo has as much to do with the game plan as I do. I'm not saying why Muschamp be like that, but like I wish Muschamp would be like Dabo is with the offense, like Dabo is for the whole game plan. Like, I wish Muschamp wouldn't even go near the offensive coordinator, near the game plan. Like, act like Dabo when it comes to the offense. Defense, Will Muschamp all in. Everything Ooh. Else, fine. But just when our offense goes on there, I wish you would play the Tony Robbins tape that Dabo does. And Dabo, you can see him. That was
Who gave you the idea that Dabo has nothing to do with the game plan? I
got
to know.
Nothing to do with the game plan. He's thinking up what his little saying is going to be at the end of the game. He's thinking like, oh, man, I should bring up, hey, I got one BYOG, bring your own guts. I'll say that one if we win. Okay. Right. I'll say this, well, okay, for effect. I mean, that's what he does. You know, that's the only time that he thinks about the game is if a kicker misses a kick or a punter does something, he goes and reams them out in front of national TV.
You sound like every single Gamecock fan that said when Chad Morris leaves, oh, they're going to go back to being 8-4.
Chad Morris.
The offense is going to suck. What happened?
I miss Chad Morris.
Why did they get better when Chad Morris left? He hired a couple of assistants who had never coached before. What happened then?
I miss Chad.
He got
Moore.
Better.
I miss him.
What, you think Dabo Swinney had nothing to do with that? You're out of your
He's
mind.
He's got nothing to do with anything.
You're out of your mind.
Well, he doesn't know what happened.
Let me get a word in between you two on this, and this is reality here. You can talk about Dabo Swinney and sit here and say that, oh, well, he's on his Tony Robbins tapes and all that, but the motherfucker gets results. When you rather
I tell you this,
if you can have
I
that,
just said, I don't I want give a shit. More like Dabo,
I don't give a shit what he does. As long as he's putting out good
and
guys and they
like
get
Dabo.
Results.
I don't want to hire a person. upstairs.
Hit your knees for Muschamp. It's hilarious.
Getting his shot on the offense. So I just said I want Muschamp more like Dabo. What more comp I can give you? You know?
You are. That is some backhanded bullshit, though, because that's the thing.
I'm not backhanding anything.
Hold the fuck on. It's backhanded because you implied that Dabo Sweeney is not a good coach. That was the backhanded end of it.
Dabo, you get mad at that. I put Dabo down, you get mad at that.
You were like arguing with my wife when she's menstrual. That's what you are all the fucking time. Take your mind off for a minute and calm the fuck down. I know
calm.
What you're doing.
I gave Dabo up. I said, I wish Dabo was more like him when it comes to the offense.
It's like, honey, do you want to go eat there? If you want to. It's that kind of thing with you. Go ahead, Kale.
Put it in my terms of what I've always said. I don't know how great of an X's and O's guy Dabo is, but he's a great program manager. Can we just say that? He gets the right people, gets the right pieces in the right places, and it always seems to click.
There you go. Got to agree with Kale on that.
There you go.
If you ask Dabo X's and O's, he would know what you're talking about. X's and O's. What do you mean?
Yeah, those
things you draw up in the playbook. Yeah.
It's not like he played or coached college football his entire life or anything. He doesn't know X's and O's. He's an idiot.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
It's nice. Pete, you got to send me your address because I'm going to mail you a cake because generally on the show, I have to do what you've done and battle here all night. But you've went toe-to-toe with a comrade. I appreciate that. So send me your email address and we'll be happy to mail you a cake because I get a night off. I'm pretty happy about that. Let's talk about teams that both of us despise here. The Georgia Bulldogs. Going into this season, I kind of wanted to bring this up because I got into it on Twitter with someone the other day, and they were talking about Georgia's got all these recruiting classes that are number one, and all I said was it's a shame that Kirby Smart can't, utilize all that talent to win championships. And Georgia fans getting in my DMs, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Well, here's what I know. You get the number one ranked recruiting class, and your program still can't get over the hump. Sorry. Are they going to get tired of Kirby Smart down there, you think, Pete?
No, I don't think it will get tired of him. There's a lot of comparisons drawn between him and Mark Richt because of their record over the first 4 years that Mark Richt was there and the amount of SEC titles, same difference. Difference is Kirby Smart's recruiting better than Mark Richt was, and he's been to the college football playoff and was literally one play away from winning a national championship. That never happened with Mark Richt. Mark Richt's biggest problem is the fact that he's got the Les Miles syndrome. He's not keeping up with the times. He's not keeping the offense up with the times. You know, he's still doing the 3 yards and a cloud of dust type of thing. Now they hired a new offensive coordinator this year, so they're recruiting or getting good transfers, quarterbacks to come in there. So we'll see how that works out.
I don't quite understand what they're trying to do though down there with the quarterback position. They want to get the grad transfer Jamie Newman, the dual threat guy from Wake Forest, and then this past week they picked JT Daniels up out of the transfer portal from USC, who's a pocket passer. So I mean, it's kind of like with Carolina. We got the pocket passer Ryan Holinsky, and then we're recruiting Nick Doty, a dual threat guy. So it's like they don't seem to know what their offensive identity is.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100. I agree with you 100%. Kale, listen, here's the thing though. Like the difference is they have an NFL offensive line, they have an NFL running back core, they have an NFL defensive line. They got a couple of pretty good wide receivers, not stacking up with the top five wide receiver corps in the country, but still it's all about the play calling. So the offensive coordinator is going to be key for Georgia. In my opinion, I could be wrong about that, but I think what to look for here is are they going to change their philosophy on offense, or is Kirby Smart going to continue to do what Kirby does and shit the bed in big games? I don't know.
I think their teams are, have more toughness now than they did when Mark Richt was there, and they seem to be a lot better along the lines of scrimmage.
I agree.
And that's where games are won and lost. And, I mean, it is showing up in the one-loss record. I mean, if you take away the throwaway 2016 season, his first season, the regular seasons have been pretty damn stellar at Georgia. What they had one undefeated regular season, and then they've lost one the past 2 years, of course.
Who was that one that lost last year?
Who lost last year? We know about that one.
Oh, yeah. So. Got all coached.
And if they could stop getting the rest of her weed, they'd be fine, I think.
I think you're right on that.
I just saw a flash up on the under the ACC championship game. Tennessee had a player arrested this evening, running back, Tim Jordan.
I saw that.
What happens?
You know, we have a lot of Tennessee fans that that follow the show. I'm getting to the point where Tennessee fans, where it's like, look, I like what Pruitt's doing there, but
you love Pruitt.
I do love Pruitt. He's better than Muschamp. Love Jeremy Pruitt.
I love Jeremy Pruitt, coach.
Don't take much.
Let's be clear, real quick, too, before we get off of Georgia, real quick.
Sure.
Let me be real clear. Rob states he hates Georgia.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna ask Pitts and Pete this question right now too. Rob was offended for weeks.
Yep.
After we beat Georgia and we messed with their hedges. I mean, for weeks in this show, Rob, it'd be a therapy session for Rob about those poor hedges and nature and how dare you. And so I question how much he hates Georgia. But I'm going to ask you, Piskin Pete, did you have a problem with what we did to the hedges down there in Athens?
Yeah, I could give a shit about bushes. I could give a shit about bushes.
Thank you, Piskin Pete.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this, Kale. I talked to you that day. You remember that? The day. So I was hanging out. I was during a Clemson Florida State game last year. I was at the tailgate in Clemson with some of my friends, some of the subscribers who might be watching right now. And one of my friends talks to Kale on a regular basis, a Clemson guy, Nick, Prince 6'1". And he hands me the phone during the tailgate. I didn't even know it was on the phone. He said, "Hey, man, somebody wants to talk to you." He hands me the phone. I get on the phone. It's Carolina Jackpot. I go, "Hey, what's up, man?" He's like, "What are you doing?" I said, and this is during the third quarter of the Georgia and South Carolina game. And I said, so you think you're gonna pull it out against the Bulldogs? And he said, "Well, I hope so, or my video is gonna be crazy after this." And I said, "You know what? And this is the truth. This is God's honest truth. I hate the Gamecocks more than anybody, but I told him." I said, "I hope you beat the Bulldogs just for the pageantry of it, just so I can see the Bulldogs cry, because the Bulldogs are ranked in the top five at that time." And that's in the, you know, they end up what happened. And then they start trampling on the bushes like anybody gives a shit about some $2 boxwood from Home Depot, right? Nobody cares about that shit.
Not true. Rob was – he was angry. I mean, was angry.
Let me defend
He tried to organize a march downtown.
That's not what I was trying to do.
He had signs built up.
I am the kind of person.
HLM, Hedges Lives Matter.
Okay.
I mean, he had all kinds of stuff.
That's a little harsh right now with everything going on, Conrad. But to defend myself on this, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I like the idea of act like you've been there before. And if you want to say fuck Georgia, just give them the finger and walk off the field.
But Rob, Hedges.
Oh, you'd be okay with that? Okay, yeah.
Rob, South Carolina hasn't been there before, though.
Actually, we've been before. We have.
That's a good point.
We swap them around.
I want to move on to Tennessee, though, because with the arrest today, you know, they're actually bringing in talent, but there's two fan bases right now that are. Up near the top of the recruiting rankings, and they're running their mouths a lot. Tennessee and North Carolina fans right now are just, they're on a different planet. But Tennessee has a lot of fans talking about they're going to go 10-2 and all that. I'm not seeing 10-2 with that schedule, Pete.
No, Tennessee, no, I'm not seeing that either. We know they're going to lose to Alabama. We know they're going to lose to Georgia. So that means they have to beat Everybody I don't know who their else. Other. I don't know who their other out of what their out of conference schedule looks like.
It's generally shitty, like most SEC teams.
Oklahoma. They got the game at Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, they're gonna lose to Oklahoma probably. So that they'd have to beat Oklahoma and Florida, and South Carolina.
That's and, that. Bring up SC. That's right. Damn right, Pittsburgh.
And Kentucky.
Listen, the South Carolina is no gimme for Tennessee. I'm not pretending.
Hell no. We're gonna slap them around.
Yeah. So 10-2 is
back into Bryce.
10-2 is a little bit delusional. 9-3 would be, an amazing season for Tennessee if they went 9-3. Realistically 8-4, 7-5, something like that.
I think it's gonna be a shit show. I think it's gonna start off bad and get worse. I'm saying CC by October 10th there'll be John Gruden rumors again. I'm hearing he wants out of the Raiders contract, and of course he wants Tennessee.
They're going to shut the bet against Georgia State. Again.
Tennessee fans blocked me on Twitter a few years ago before they hired Julian Pruitt because they're all bringing up Gruden, and I said they are not. Gruden is not coming there. He does not want to coach college. Stop it! I'll guarantee you right now. And of course, when they didn't hire Gruden, Gordon went after the Raiders, or he did, and of course I tweeted them back. They all blocked me. Like block. I'm like, you're gonna talk crap and then whatever. But yeah, October 10th, NASCAR of all being here going, listen, I'm hearing from my friends that Gruden he wants to come here. So I'm hearing when you're like whatever 2-5. I'm hearing Gruden wants it, man. I heard he wants it.
Yeah, if Tennessee was able to win 9 games, I'd be impressed with that.
Did they have some kind of relationship with him? Did Phil Fulmer have some kind of relationship with Gruden? Because I mean, this seems like a weird fit. I mean, like, it doesn't fit at all.
Well, it doesn't. And Gruden, if you know about Gruden at all, he hates young people in the NFL. Like, all his teams that he gets eventually are all veteran guys. Like the Buccaneers, like, he does not like rookies. Okay, he likes 2 second-year guys. He likes the 35-year-old.
He loves Clemson.
Warriors, been there. I want him, man.
He loves Clemson. Okay?
So you think he's gonna go to college?
Yeah, but he was doing that show for a long time where he would take draftable quarterbacks in there and then go over their weak
points. It was entertaining, but like that. I think Gruden's a little bit overrated. I mean, listen, he's entertaining. I like him. I mean, he's good for the game because he's entertaining, but I think he's a little bit overrated in terms. I mean, the Buccaneers, he took over a ready-made team for him that Dungy got there, and he won. I mean, give him credit, but they fell apart pretty quick afterwards. He kind of lost the locker room pretty quick. So I think Gruden's a little bit, listen, he's an entertaining guy, and so he gets that stuff. But the whole thing, Tennessee fans say he was going there and going to save the program, which used to crack me up.
Yeah, I don't think he's overrated at all. I think that he's never going to be a college coach. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, and his judgment's a little messed up, too. I mean, you mentioned before, Pittskin Pete. Look at the guys he's drafting right now. So his judgment's a little bit off, too.
Well, why don't we pivot into this? And, of course, Pete joining us on the show tonight. Pete, can you give us your fondest South Carolina Clemson game memory? I like it when we get an outside perspective on some of this stuff, but you obviously, as you proved earlier, have been a Clemson fan for a long time, so I'm sure you have a great memory of a matchup you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, I do. It's not going to be an old game, though. Sorry. It's going to be 56-7 at Clemson with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson with the bow and arrow and carrying Mike Williams carrying players on his back into the end zone.
That's a hell of a memory there. With that game, like my two co-hosts here, they didn't give a shit because they knew going in they were going to get face pumped. So I like to look back at some of the other games. Mike, you knew you were losing that game. Shut up.
That's not true. I did not give it. I think – didn't we have a show back then?
No, we started this after the show.
I think I ran down the what needs to happen for us to win. There's a lot of things. Okay. But I broke down. If these things happen, we could pull off the victory. There's like 14 things. I don't think any of them happened. Only thing you want to happen.
Well,
I think about it.
I thought we'd go around the horn with that because my favorite South Carolina Clemson memory that I remember was my stepdad and I he'd never gone to a game with me, okay? Because it just one thing led him, we just never got to it. So the first time we went to a game was I think it was 2004 when Clemson
won. I know where you're going with this
one. So yeah. we go to this game, right? And my stepdad's this huge Gamecock fan. He's over the top, sort of like the comrade, like the Gamecocks invented football, son. You don't know it, but they invented football, and you know what? They're gonna whip some Clemson ass tonight. So I drove to the game, okay? I pick him up, we go to the game, we get up there, and I'd been working with iHeartRadio for a while. They gave me some really good tickets, so we had really good seats. And Williams-Brice Stadium, you know, all of their running their mouths and everything else. And I'm sitting there with my full orange attire on, with my stepdad who's in his Gamecock gear, and all these other Gamecock fans around us. I was an orange spot. And I tell you what, by halftime, we were sitting by ourselves because Clemson went in there with Charlie Whitehurst and completely mouth-humped them. And my stepdad looked at me at the half and said, "You know what, son? I think it's time to go home." And I looked up at him, and it's the first time he ever heard me utter a curse word. And I said, "No, fuck no. We are not leaving until this game is over. We're not leaving." And he sat down, and I made my stepdad watch the rest of that beating in that shithole on Bluff Road. And we watched as, who was it? I can't remember who it was taking pictures with the Gamecock cheerleaders. He was probably banging them like eight at a time on the way out when we destroyed Tanner Muse's them. Exactly. When we destroyed them in that stadium. I'll never forget that as long as I live. The look on my stepdad's face as I made him sit through that game. And it was, I'll never forget it. Conrad, what's your favorite memory?
You know, I'm not going to choose one of the five beatdowns in a row because everyone goes, and I'll tell you why. My first experience going up to Death Valley. Okay. This is 96. Okay. 94. I'm sorry. 94. And for those of you who don't know, I played football briefly for the Gamecocks 93 and 94 is my first year of being a normal student. Okay. And so I'm still kind of getting used to the idea of hating Clemson. Like, I don't know if I really hate Clemson.
Can I interject here?
Yeah.
Comrade, you played football for the Gamecocks?
Play is a strong word, Pittskin Pete. I was on the team.
Well, that's good. That's good enough.
So 94. I didn't really have a hatred for Clemson yet. I mean, I'm from New York. I just came down here a year earlier to school. I didn't, you know, whatever. And so we went to Clemson with some friends and didn't have any tickets. And I kind of put my fingers up, got a ticket. And I went to the stadium, and I had no idea. Apparently, your stadium, as I found out later on, you cannot walk around your stadium inside. Okay?
No, you can't. No.
And so I just figured, well, I got my ticket. Let's just go into the stadium and I'll find my seat. So I walk in and the Clemson band is playing. Okay. And I'm looking at my ticket. I'm looking at my ticket, trying to figure out where my seat is, you know. And I've got a shirt on that says B Clemson. Okay. Not F Clemson, it's B Clemson. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, this 65-year-old lady takes her pom-pom and slaps it in the back of the neck. And goes, "You lame cocks are over there." And I went,
I'm pretty sure that was my grandmother.
I go, okay. So I start walking like inside the stadium. And she stops me. "No, no, 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 no. You got to go outside the stadium." So I'm thinking she's trying to, like, you know, tell me what to do. I'm like, I'm not going to walk out of the stadium. And then she goes, "Well, you won't get over there that way because the stadium stops right there." I'm like, "Well, that's a hell of a stadium you guys built. You can't walk inside the stadium?" So then I finally walk around and get down to my seat, and I'm in the Gamecock section, the last row, next to the next Tater section right there. As I'm getting there, the Gamecocks are coming out. The players are coming out. So I'm kind of cheering, like, oh, all right. And then, of course, Clemson comes down the dumb hill, all right? And this other old lady, okay, who's with her husband with headphones on, listening to your crappy radio broadcast, okay, she takes her pom-pom in my face. Yeah! Like, I'm like, holy crap, these people are nuts.
We are nuts, yes.
And then, of course, we killed you that game, had the little throwback kickoff.
That was awesome.
And
Brandon Bennett.
We beat you pretty bad, and to the point where the lady who threw the pom-pom in my face to her husband, who didn't say a word all day, he's had the headphones on, she starts packing up early, you know? And me being a smartass, I said, ma'am, where are you going? And at the time, my best friend has been a Gamecock fan since birth, okay? He's been there several times, okay? So he's telling me beforehand, listen, when the game's over, we're going to run down the field. I'm like, oh, hey, all right, sounds good. So I go to the lady. I said, where are you going? I said, we're having a party down there in a little while. You should stay. She goes, you boys best get your butts back to Columbia, and don't you dare go on that field. Like, well, we're going on the field.
I like this lady.
And so she left. We went in the field, and I just went down there, what the hell. And I actually saw some of the players I knew, you know, and whatever, congratulating them. My best friend, who grew up in Conway, South Carolina, and despises Clemson, he had a souvenir cup that he had with his Coke was in, and he is scrapping up like turf and putting in, I know, Rob, this makes Rob mad right now with the hedges. He's turf and putting in the cup, okay? And a cop stopped him, and he was like, boy, you do that stuff in your front yard? And he's like, this is in my front yard. What means, you know? And so, but he still has that, though. If you go to his house right now, he's married and got two kids. Go to his house in Myrtle Beach right now. He's got the cup right there with the crackly old turf.
This guy's got turf from 1994?
Yeah, it's like he's got it all kind of sealed up. It's in there.
Is there fungus growing in that shit? What's going on with that?
Like, I haven't seen it in a couple of years. I saw it about 5 years ago. So he broke out of his closet. I still got it. So that was probably my favorite memory, because kind of my first experience in that was my first experience in Death Valley. But my first kind of experience with the rivalry, because when I was playing, it's just a little bit different. Like, you don't feel the hate, really, you know, like, and I was brand new to it. So I really wasn't into the whole, yeah. You're thinking about yourself, thinking about like, well, you know, I suck, I'm not playing. And you're not thinking about, you know, the crap we think about here now. So that's probably my first experience, and we beat you. And then 2 years later, the 96 game was really like a great game. Two crappy-ass teams. I mean, two horrible teams. But it was one of the best games I've seen live in terms of we had a big lead. Clemson came all the way back. And my best friend's going, man, we should leave right now. I've seen this before. We're going to lose this game. I've seen this crap here before. We're going to lose this game. And they're driving down, and Neiland Green's got a guy wide open, and he throws a bounce pass to him. And then your kicker misses his kick. We won by two. We won by 2 points.
Yeah.
Won that
Matt
game.
Paget.
Yeah. That was great. That game was cold as hell, too. God, it was cold.
I know we're going to get to Kale's favorite sure. here in a second. Can I mention
that
my
honor? That 94 game was great. It was like it was 14-7 at halftime, and then we threw that lateral on the opening kickoff of the second half. And Brandon Bennett threw it across the field to Reggie Richardson. I think it skipped to Richard, and he all the way down to like the 6 yard line, and he ran over Daryl Niccolo, who just tripped him up, or he would have scored there. If you go back and watch that one on YouTube, it was on Raycom back then. It was like the ACC. Did the ACC games. And
that was Bill the original Dooley ACC network.
Bill Dooley was one of the commentators on that one. He used to be a coach at Virginia Tech and Wake Forest, and a great announcer. And he had this old Southern drawl that was great. And he was calling that one when they saw the slow motion replay on it. He's like, Bennett just threw that thing all the way across the field, and Reggie Richardson gets all the way down and trips over his own teammate, Daryl Niccolo, or they would have scored and went up 20-7. And then, of course, we scored on the next play. and went on to win 33-7. But yeah, that was a good one. Pete, are we going to segue into mine?
Well, no. Pete had something he wanted to bring up before we went to yours. So
I was just going to say, if I could do an honorable mention real quick, I'll make this quick.
Sure.
The final game of Lou Holtz with the bench clearing brawl.
I was there for that
only
game.
The only reason that I love that game is because it upset Lou Holtz so much, and I can't stand Lou Holtz. That's the reason he hate Clemson so much, is because of that brawl. And I hate Lou Holtz. So,
well, real quick on that game, Tim Frisbee, the former Gamecock receiver, was on my show when him and I are good friends. He comes on. He blocked you. But we talked about the brawl game, and he told me, he said, one of the most disappointing things about that is that if you watch the video, you can see Holtz running out onto the field, and then he turns back and he said that Holtz looked at me and said, "Hey, get control of these guys." And Frisbee said, "Well, you're supposed to be the coach." That came right out of his mouth, which was absolutely funny. And he's out there. He said, "I went out there because I was worried that Holtz was going to get bum rushed and just run over by an offensive lineman or whatever." So, but yeah, that's the one thing I remember from that game, from interviewing Tim on that. And he said that was just surreal. And he said that the cops coming in like from both ends of the field and basically meeting in the middle, and it just was just a shit show.
That was a crazy game. I mean, the worst thing that would have happened is Lou Holtz got punched in the head and he started speaking correctly, you know.
You're right about that. Tim Frisbee's a great guy to interview because he actually played for Holtz and for Spurrier. So two coaches that some people might think are the two biggest assholes you'll ever meet. And he played for both of them. So
But real quick, Tim Frisbee blocked me, not because of Gamecock stuff. He's a New York Yankee fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. And I just talked shit to him when we were killing the Yankees in 18. And he just blocked me. It wasn't really a bad. I said, "Hey, look at the standings. You're now 10 games back."
Yeah.
How can someone down here in the South get that passionate about the damn New York Yankees?
I know. I wasn't really talking that shit to him. I would good-heartedly talk junk to him. We're both Gamecocks. I was like, "Hey, your Yankees can fill another game behind." And finally, one day he just blocked me. Like, good lord.
I agree with Jackpot. These damn New York Yankees fans down here where I live in Charleston, they're out of control. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's crazy. Well, pivoting to
right, Kale.
Kale's best Gamecock Clemson game memory. What you got, Kale?
Okay, I'm going to throw this one back real old school. I'm not talking about any from the five in a row or any of that stuff. I'm going back to 1987. And that was a really, really good Gamecock team. And you want to talk about defense. I mean, buddy, we had it that year. We were damn loaded. And we went into the game against Clemson, the final game. No, excuse me. It was the next to the last game of the regular season, because we had a game after that against Miami.
Tough schedule. What a schedule.
So,
oh, you're still talking about tough schedules from 1987. You're still doing the same shit today. Come on now.
We've lost two games back-to-back. Early in the season, lost on the road to Nebraska and on the road to Georgia by a touchdown each. Both those teams were in the top 10. And we went in there when everybody else that we played, we absolutely murdered. Virginia killed them. Virginia Tech destroyed them. East Carolina destroyed them. NC State destroyed them. I can't remember who else was on that slate. We're what, 7-2, I guess it was at that point. Clemson's 8-1, 8-2, 9-1. Their defense is ranked inside. They may have had like the number 3 ranked defense in the country, and Carolina was ranked number 2 or 4 or something. I can't remember. Both teams were inside the top 10. And it was just a battle. The first half was just a stalemate. I think it was 7-6 Clemson at halftime. And just a packed house at Williams-Brice. It was a night game. It's cold as a damn witch's
titty.
You know
titty.
What? Yep, there you go. second half, we come out, get involved, run a couple of plays. Ryan Bethea breaks loose for like a 70-yard gain from a pass from Cyclone out. And we score, go up 13-7, but it's still really tedious, until about midway through the fourth quarter, I believe it was, and Clemson's got a bit of a drive going. Rodney Williams tosses one over the middle. He gets intercepted by Brad Edwards, who takes that thing back for pick six.
Our future AD.
Seals up a 20-7 victory. So that Brad Edwards play. And that place was nuts after that. And I remember at the end of the game, they had it up on the scoreboard. 20 for the Gator and 7 for the Citrus. And that was a great one. You couldn't spell Clemson that day without the C-I-T-R, whatever. Whatever. I just fucked up a Steve Spurrier quote there.
And I mentioned before, the 87 team, if you go to Sports Reference and they do this calculation, and I know that they lost like four games that year, that team was ranked as the second best Gamecock team of all time based on their strength of schedule and their margin of victory for the season. They do a little calculation. It's ranked as the best team of all time, Gamecock wise, just because the teams they played were so good, and when they won games, they destroyed teams, and their losses were all like close losses to really good teams.
Yeah, the Miami game, they lost 20-16, and if you go back and look, I think that the next, I don't think anybody else was within four touchdowns of Miami that year. I mean, no shit. I mean, that was when Steve Walsh was the quarterback. I mean, they were freaking awesome and unstoppable. So we had that, and then I remember going to the Gator Bowl that year, and I went with my mom. We went on a bus trip. We left from Greenville, a bus trip to Jacksonville to the Gator Bowl, and we didn't even stay overnight. We went to the game, watched the game, and came back home, and it's like, you know, the ass end of December, but you're in Jacksonville, which is just a hot shithole all year long. It's like 82 degrees. You know, and I've got like sweat running down my 13-year-old butt crack sitting in the end zone of the Gator Bowl. It's a miserable day.
That's a nice visual.
And we got our ass handed to us by LSU, which was in, you know, SEC. Well, we didn't really know. We didn't really study up. I didn't know a whole lot about teams in the SEC then, other than Georgia, because that was the only one we played.
It just means
year.
More.
But, their quarterback Tommy Hudson.
Yep.
And had a
it just means more losses for the Gamecocks.
They wore our ass out. It was bad. It was like 31-13. Bad. So
yeah. Well, I thought it'd be fun to share some of those memories, and of course, I want to thank Pete for joining us on the show. We've been at this for over an hour now. It feels like we could do a lot more because we didn't touch basketball. We didn't touch baseball. I mean, we could have done all kind of stuff like that. Pete, I'd like to offer you the chance to come back whenever the hell you want, by the way. You just let us know. You can step in whenever you want. But I'd love to have you back on the show.
Yeah. Does Pete know Clemson's got more than one sport besides football? Do you know Pete? I'm not sure. You know Clemson's got a baseball team and a basketball team?
First of all, I don't watch baseball, so no.
Okay.
Basketball, yes, I do.
Okay, I was making sure because, you know.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking for a historical night, if you want to ask me who the starting forward from 1987 was, I'm not going to be able to tell you that. All right.
Well, will you come on and I do pay attention with me about
that?
Maybe
that was Horace Grant.
I'm just
probably was Horace Grant. You're probably right about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering if you would come on and bitch with me about Brad Brownell. But, you know. We'd like to have you back. So if you'd like to come on, that would be awesome.
Sure. I had a great time. I really appreciate the invite, too.
All right, so
good seeing you, Pete.
It's great having Pete here, and of course we'll be back at it on Wednesday. And gentlemen, I think with that, this show is a wrap.